This is the Bloomberg Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Bonnie Quinn on Bloomberg Radio.
The Bloomberg Advantage is brought to you by Pega. Welcome to CRM Evolved. Learn more at PegaCan.com. Well, the bond market could, until today, continue to rally. A bit of a setback. The benchmark 10-year note yield is back up to 1.92%. But bear in mind, that is a low rate. And more broadly, when people look at European bond markets, where there are many kinds of government paper now with a yield that is negative, where you're basically paying the government to hold your money, our next guest says, you may feel like you stepped through the financial market looking glass, that we're in the bond market equivalent of Wonderland. Mark Grant of Southwest Securities joins us from Fort Lauderdale now to explain why we are all going down the rabbit hole as bond yields turn negative in markets around the world. Mark, that was one of your very fun pieces you wrote yesterday afternoon, catching our eye yet again. What is the concern here?
Well, in the first place, when you talk about something that's new, really new, never happened before, ever, you're talking about negative interest rates. If you go back in the British markets or the Dutch markets to 600 years ago, and you've had pestilence, famine, wars, every other which thing you can imagine, that there have never been negative interest rates until now. And so now we have about $3 trillion of negative bonds, negative yield bonds in Europe, and about $5 trillion globally. And it's a cause for real concern, because it means all of a sudden that the person that's lending the money is paying the person that the money is being lent to.
Right, but if that's the way the economy has driven monetary policy, is that not the right thing to be doing then?
Well, it hasn't been driven by any kind of traditional market forces. It's been driven by the European Central Bank, who lent money to their banks for 0.5% so they could go out and buy sovereign debt, which took the debt down to zero or just above it. Then we went to zero, and now they've started a second round of quantitative easing like the Fed. So now everything in the world practically over there is negative interest rates, which is, you know, problematical, obviously, for the population and any kind of savers.
Well, you know, you also are commenting on watching a story from Zero Hedge about the biggest shortage of U.S. 10-year Treasury notes since June of 2014, which has led me to ask many people from the bond land, What would be the harm of the Fed maybe selling some of the $5 trillion worth of bonds they have in their portfolio? At the very least, as former Dallas Fed President Richard Fisher suggested as he was leaving his office, let the maturing bonds just roll off, right? Don't replace them in the portfolio. But then you get someone who's actually in the bond world trading them saying, yikes, you do that, you'd send such a signal, it would just, you know, it could send yields sharply higher.
Well, certainly it's one possibility to do that. The Fed is going to argue, I think, and has argued, that they need to keep that money just in case we have another Lehman moment again. You know, the real issue, and why I call the economic world these days Wonderland, is because it's really controlled. You can say for good purposes or bad purposes, but it's really controlled, both the debt and equity markets, by the central banks now. You have the biggest central bank position is the Chinese one. The American one is the second one. But then you've got Japan. You've got the ECB, which is building up its position. And it's driving equities in ways that are distracting. And then, of course, it's doing things to the bond markets that are
strange. Well, Mark,
strange.
You know, the yield on the U.S. 10-year is, what, 10 times the yield of the German Bund right now? And it's something like five and a half times that of the Japanese. So, yeah, there's clearly distortions and so forth. But we've been living with that kind of a market now for many, many, many years. Have traders learned how to trade it, or, you know, is it something that you'll never get used to?
Well, I mean, people have learned how to trade it, but the issue is there are two ways to look at it. For instance, the German 10-year right now as we speak is 0.19%. And the 10-year U.S. Treasury 10-year is 1.92%. So there are two ways to look at it. You can either say that Germany is such in better financial condition than the United States that it deserves that, and that's just a ridiculous argument. Or you have to say it's being manipulated by the European Central Bank. The problem that for America is that this manipulation by the European Central Bank to help Europe is causing us any number of problems. The first being that with the strengthening of the dollar, which has been forced up by the ECB, we're at 1.084 at the moment versus the euro, the earnings for American corporations are getting seriously impacted. So what you can expect in the next couple of quarters is much lower earnings for American companies, and eventually that probably hits stock prices as you can't justify the valuations or the PE multiples at the lower earnings.
But things don't always go the way you want. I mean, you know, American companies benefited from a strong euro for a long time. Now it's a weak euro, and perhaps they'll just change their strategy and make acquisitions and so forth.
Well, that's certainly something they could do, and certainly it has been going on. But you begin to see that it's very problematical. And, of course, if the Fed did raise interest rates, which I think would be a huge mistake, it would cause the relationship to even worsen. But the ECB, it's obvious to me, is trying to push the euro to parity to strengthen and get out of the recession.
Is there any chance this is going to overheat Germany? Germany is not anything like the weaker peripheral countries. It's in much better shape than France, one of the bigger countries, economies there, that people say if anybody's at risk in any kind of European crisis, France could get hit in addition to Italy. But Germany, does it need a much weaker euro? Does it need all this stimulus and negative yields?
You know, it doesn't need them per
se. Are they at risk of having more inflation than they'd like to see if this continues?
You have two deflationary trends right now, which is the weak economic situation for most of Europe, though clearly not Germany. And then two, of course, you have a deflationary trend because of the drop in the price of oil. And, you know, both of those are also hitting America, by the way, as our inflation is not nearly what the Fed wants it to be either.
All right, Mark, what do you do then? I mean, inflation expectations are rising here in the U.S., so that's got to be indicating something.
Well, you know, I think a lot of that's wishful thinking, unless you're going to see oil go back up to, say, $70, which I don't think is going to happen.
So you think that trend will reverse?
Yeah, I think it's wishful thinking as oil kind of stabilizes. And then you look at the European numbers, and they're slightly better. So that makes you think maybe, you know, we're at least flattening out. But I don't see any inflation coming for the next number of years anywhere near the 2% that the Fed would like to see.
We are going to continue this conversation with Mark Grant of Southwest Securities. In fact, I think we're out of time, unfortunately. Mark, we're going to have you back. We could talk to you all day. Mark, thank you so much. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Vonnie Quinn, at Kathleen_Hayes for some of what our guests have been saying. And also listen to our podcast at BloombergRadio.com. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.